This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Speaking of the Pistons, on the newest episode of Restore the Floor, myself and Evan were joined by Isaiah Lord Thomas III. You want to listen to that. Talks a little bit about the Detroit versus everybody culture. And we might play a little snippet of that later in the program. Also reminiscing about one of the greatest games in Piston history that he had against the Knicks in the playoffs. Unfortunately, the Pistons did not win that game, but it was an unbelievable performance. Anyway, we're talking Tigers. They lose to the Milwaukee Brewers again this afternoon by the score of 5-1. Montero got the start, which I know they didn't have a day off, and he wanted to give Reese Olson maybe one extra day rest because he's been struggling a little bit. But Montero gave up, three home runs, I believe. According to Chris McCoskey, the Detroit News, his knuckle curve was awesome. Just, you know, it was a problem when he put the ball in the middle of the plate. And Riley Green, 0-for-4. He's 1-for-32 since April 5th with 19 strikeouts. And that is incredible. And so the question is, are you worried about it? Are you concerned? Or you think it's baseball. Stuff does happen. You know, guys, great players go in slumps.
Yeah, you clowns just making more out of this than what it really is.
Yes. We have some ticket text. David.
Riley Green to Toledo by May 1st, they're asking. Should that happen by May 1st?
I think that's a little bit early, but it's, you know, it's my homestand is, what, 10 games. So, yeah, maybe.
I figure that almost coincides with your homestand if you throw the Houston series afterwards in there.
Right.
Then, yeah, that would mean he would be gone before you head out to L.A. to play the Angels. According to that person.
Yes. Someone else is asking, today was the first time I started to have thoughts that creeped into my mind about Riley Green, and he may need Toledo. So Toledo's thinking in a lot of people's minds. We are talking about 1 week in 162 games. It sucks. But look at Judge in the playoffs last year and how bad he was. He will bounce back. Just relax, guys. That is Lou in a big truck.
That's fair. That's why I said in baseball, great, great players go through this. But it's not, to me, it's just he looks so bad at the plate. It's not just the results aren't there. He looks lost.
It's a 28 strikeouts. Now, think about it. Granted, two different players, but think of how badly we would always rip Javi Baez for all the bad strikeouts.
Right.
Javi has 9. He's got 28 this season, just to put things in perspective.
Yeah. And Javi's strikeouts, most of them this year, have not been the typical Javi, I'm going to swing at bad pitches. He's just
they're like regular Major League Baseball player strikeouts.
Right. Javi Baez looks like an average. Yeah.
Yes.
He looks like an average Major League Baseball player right now. Not that great, not that bad, just average.
Right.
Certainly not worth the $25 million he's getting paid, but He's not really killing them.
Stony baby steps.
Yeah,
I know. Baby steps.
Exactly. That's what
we. Am I crazy for saying I'll take it? We expected league worst from last year.
Oh, for Javi? Yes.
If he's average, that's fine. I'll take that.
Where are you on Riley Green? Where's your patience?
If it's a something or nothing question, right now I'm at a nothing. I think I'm with you. I need at least another couple of weeks of this on tape before I start to actually begin to panic.
Yeah. I mean, he's too good. He's been too good of a player. And he's too young for this to, I think, fester long term. But it's a tough watch out there. That's for damn sure.
It is. Someone texts in and says, does the name Brennan Bosch mean anything to you? Have the pitchers found that same hole in Riley Green's swing?
I don't know. I haven't examined it. But a lot of times he's like looking at good pitches, too. It's not even the strikes. It's not even the swing and misses.
No, you know, I'm wondering now, is it mental? Is it in his head? And now he's pressing, trying to think that next at-bat is going to make up for the entire beginning of this year.
That's possible. But Brennan Bosch, with all due respect to the texter, he had a good streak or two for a decent period of time, but he was not an all-star. He never flirted with even being an all-star, really. I mean, he got hot for a few months, really. People got excited. Right?
Someone says, the fans calling worried about Green are stupid. He's a good player. In a slump, chill.
Okay.
That's Pat from work.
You're certainly entitled to that. I'm just worried because it's not just he's 1-for-32. He looks awful being 1-for-32. Steve in Royal Oak, you're 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, fellas. Good to hear you, Stoney. What you just said is kind of what I was thinking. He looks lost. The way his at-bats are puzzling, and he's even admitted it, I think, the other couple games ago that he's struggling, and I'm not to the point where he send him down to Toledo, but his thought process and what's going on between his eardrums seems to be a direct parallel with his at bat. So my feeling is maybe sit him for a couple days, get his head right before somebody thinks he should go down to Toledo and just continue doing the same thing he's doing. So clear his head, quit pressing, and see if he can get back on it, because his at bats just look horrible.
He sat yesterday, and he comes back today and goes 0-for-4.
He didn't sit yesterday.
Oh, it was Monday.
He had 3 strikeouts yesterday.
Oh, so it was Monday he sat.
Yeah,
right? He sat one game. I know that.
Yeah. Sony, he kind of looks like how Torque was last year. When Torque was sent down, he came back, and I think he hit 2 or 3 home runs in a week, and he's saying, okay, I'm back. I got it down. And then from that point on, we all know what happens. It just looked like he was just going for the, you know, going to put it out of the stadium each time. And it seems like Riley's doing the same thing. His swings are so – he's a heavy, violent swinger anyway, but he looks like he's always trying to do is jack the ball. So who knows? I have no idea. But
now, Steve, I'm with you. Steve, it looks like every time he's up there now, he's trying to make up for all the past at-bats that he had this season instead of
just – Right on.
So, no.
Right on.
The one game he sat – this is when they scored 9 runs. Just the irony of it.
Yeah. Exactly right on Monday.
Yeah. He didn't play, and everybody got something.
Now, here's the other thing where you might not want to panic about the Tigers, because, you know, they're now in second place, percentage points. Cleveland wins tonight or lose, whatever. Tigers are just 1-5 against the National League. As long as they play the American League, they're good, right? It'd be positive. All you have to do is worry about the American League. The interleague play will take care of itself. If they lose, they lose. But, you know, if you can kick ass against the American League, that'll take precedent over struggling with the National League.
So we can win the AL pennant. We just can't win the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I will take a trip to the World Series.
I wouldn't care at that point. I would. I wouldn't care.
It would only be 13 years.
Like,
right?
So what? We lost in the World Series. You know, just another tie.
Yeah, I know. I know. Not in your lifetime. Who knows?
We've lost every single World Series trip in my lifetime. I'm so sick of hearing about 84. I'm done with it. I really want to win one.
What did 84 do to you?
It was the year before I was born. So I hear about it. I want one in my lifetime.
It's not our problem. It was great.
I'm selfish.
It was fun to watch. Bless you, boys.
I believe this is like some weird form of ageism. I think we got to be careful about this one, guys. Me and David have not seen one.
Right. David is like, I'm sick of hearing about it. Like, what did 84 do to you?
I understand it because there are a lot of people who are sick of people like my age or who grew up here. Some people are sorry. They're sick of hearing about 68 if you're like in 50 or younger, you know, because you didn't grow up at the time when they won in 68.
You know what, David? There it is. Yeah. That was the year before I was 68. So it was always every Tiger rain delay. They showed the 68 World Series thing.
Right.
David and I are sick about hearing about both of them, I think.
It's a glorious time, Kenny.
So you were born, what, at 69?
Yeah.
69? It's glorious. 97 won the ticket.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Terry hit from Gleyber Torres. It was a double, though, but there were some hard-hit balls. I mean, look, it was one of those nights, and this is going to happen throughout the course of the season, but Dingler gave one a ride. Torkelson gave one a ride. Baez absolutely smoked a ball, but was right at the left fielder Churio. So, I mean, okay, happens.
Somebody else hit one right up the middle that almost decapitated the pitcher.
Yeah.
But the shortstop was played right there. It was like the shift without being in the shift.
Yeah.
Was able to just pick it off and throw him out easily. I'm like, damn it.
Yep.
But yeah, they couldn't get it going yesterday. Hopefully they get it going today against a lefty. Quintana's only made one start this year and he pitched awfully well, but throughout his career, I mean, it's not like he's new to the league. I think he's 36 years old or something like that. So he's been around, been to a number of different teams. You know what you're getting. He's a left-handed pitcher. Let's see if the right-handed bats can enjoy this. It'd be nice to see Torkelson get back after, like you mentioned, back-to-back offers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dingler would be in the lineup, but I'd like to see him back in there. Maybe not throwing the ball to second base because that seemed to be a problem.
God, he almost drilled Flaherty twice.
Yeah,
and throws down to second.
You know, and they were referencing how that's Milwaukee's game. If they get a guy on first base, they're trying to send him to second base. They'd like to apply pressure, and I like that style and brand of baseball. If you have the players to do it, the Tigers don't really have those players to steal bases as much, but Milwaukee tries it. But I'd like to see Dingler in the lineup again today because he, you know, right-handed against the left-hander, and he can crush the ball. We've seen him crush the ball, and he crushed it last night just for an out.
One of the great things about sports is that when you're watching, sometimes you see something and you wonder, has that ever happened before? And last night, the Tiger game, we did get that, has that ever happened before? It was in the seventh inning. Milwaukee was threatening. I think they had first and third, and there was a ground ball to Torkelson.
Yeah.
And Torkelson tried to get the runner at second. I mean, there was a chance that it was going to be a double play.
Yeah, he was trying for the double play. Yeah.
So he picks up the ground ball, and the base runner, I forget who it was you know, running from first to second and was kind of in the line of where Torkelson was throwing. Torkelson threw it and hit the base runner, which I've seen that has happened.
Sure, before. Yeah.
But here's what I have not seen.
Right.
The ball hit him in the shoulder, popped up in the air, and Trey Sweeney, who was on second base, stretched and caught the ball off the base runner in time for the force out. So it was a throw from Torque, hit the runner, popped in the air, and got to Sweeney anyway for the out. I've never seen that before.
I had not. You don't typically see the ball, once it hits a player like that in that situation, continue to go forward.
Yep.
But that's what happened.
It deflected up in the air. I think Benetti called it popcorned up in the air, which was an accurate description. And there it was.
That was something.
Every once in a while, you see something, you go, I've never seen that before.
Oh.
Yep. So.
Unfortunately, allowed a run to score.
Yeah, and it also didn't matter.
No, it did not. Well, it doesn't matter if you're only going to get one hit in a baseball game.
Yeah, it'd be cathartic to see one of those like 7-run, 16-hit kind of games today.
Just
one of those reminders. Hey, all good.
100%.
All good. And Keiter Montero getting the start.
Yeah, this is interesting. So A.J. Hinch has decided he wants to get, because they play like 23 games in 24 days or something.
Yep.
So he wants to be able to give the guys in rotation a break. Like delay everything by, almost get everybody gets a day off, delay everything by a day. So Keiter Montero gets the start. Reese Olson will start in tomorrow's game. But it's interesting. They end up sending down, was it Herder that they sent down?
I thought it was Hanafy.
Hanafy. One of the H's. Send him down. Not sure how long that's going to be that he'll be sent down for, because Montero may make a second start. That he hasn't committed to that. A.J. Hinch hasn't committed to that. But if he does, based, you know, I said yesterday that you had the back-to-back bad outings from Maeda. And I thought, well, it's way too early to say, all right, he's done. But then I hear that Montero's being brought up. And I thought, they're not going to send Montero down already, are they? And they're not. But, you know, who deserves to be on this roster?
So it got me thinking a little bit that there is an element of preservation that they have to consider with Jackson Jobe. In that Jackson Jobe, I think we looked it up earlier this year, the most innings he's thrown in a season is 90-something. Let me double-check that. I'm pretty sure I remember it being 90-something. But, Scott, in an effort to stretch Jobe as deep as they can in the season, Montero might play a significant role here in absorbing some starts between now and the postseason to try and keep Jobe as fresh as possible, as long as possible. So you kind of talk about players that might be underrated on their impact on a season that has some premium when they're trying to do some stuff. Keiter Montero might be one of those guys that, hey, don't forget about him, because his ability to give them innings, have some success, and preserve Jobe, if not preserve everybody, but I think specifically Jobe would be one that, it's hard to imagine that they're ready to give Jobe 200 innings.
Yeah, they're not. Not at all. I'm curious how close to, you know, 140 he's going to get.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is, it's nice to have a guy like Montero that can, but, you know, it's not like Montero's pitched a ton either. He's pitched more in his minor league career, but, you know, how many, is he going to be on an innings count? Between Toledo and Detroit. But they're going to find guys periodically throughout the year, whether it's Montero or it's Maeda or it's Matt Manning, who started last night. And we're looking to see if he's going to pitch on the bullpen, but he started last night, did not pitch well, got hit a little bit again. But whoever it is, they're going to be spot starts to give Jackson Jobe a rest for sure. And probably the same thing, maybe to an extent, for Casey Mize.
Yeah, and so the number, by the way, the number on Jobe is 91 and two thirds. That's the most pitches, most innings he has thrown in a season. And, you know, as a starter in a major league roster, you want to have him, if he's going to be good, how do you get him to September? You know, how do you get him to September without having a dramatic jump in terms of his innings? Montero might be the guy. And as far as Manning's concerned, they might want to seriously look at reprogramming Manning. You know, this might be a career reboot out of the bullpen and see if he can be effective in that role. And that could be your, if things keep going south for Maeda, that could be your next move. But, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. And A.J. Hinch said it when they were trying to cut down to the roster. Guys, this is
This is where we are for now. I'm just thinking about the next series, but there'll be lots of moves made along the way.
Yes, there will.
And so we're just absorbing it all. Bounce back game today. Cutter Montero getting the start for the Tigers. 248-539-9797. All right, uniform number changes in the NFL became a big story, and the Lions had a bunch of them. And it, quite frankly, the reaction it got, I don't know if it was simply limited to those that purchased jerseys, so it might be the kind of deal that impacts a smaller percentage of Detroiters, but those that it impacts are pissed about it. I do want to get into, because one of the players explained why he did it, and you know, I want to get into that a little bit. We will, coming up today at 11:31. It's Carson Anderson. Just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket, anywhere in the United States. Same thing through our website, 971theticket.com. Stream with video using twitch.tv and youtube.com. We got streaming chat on both those sites. You can watch the show and then participate in the streaming chat. Sometimes we read those things on the air. So, all different ways you could take it in. And follow us on Twitter at Duggan Gator 971. Let's talk some Lions next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, during the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel is giving all new customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet on anything with that $250, from three-pointers to steals to assists. If you want to go prop bets, you can also just bet point spreads, money, you know, lines. You can bet over-unders. And remember this, after games tip off, you can combine your live prop bets into same-game parlays for a chance to win big. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on the NBA play-in tournament action. More games tonight. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
One run would be enough. Tiger shot out for the first time this season, held to only one hit. Gleyber Torres in the sixth. 9:02, we've got a fresh Mel Mock draft. We'll get to it. A lot of draft talk in the 7 o'clock hour today. We're starting with a lot of Tiger talk. John, I think today's actually a good day to do this.
Okay.
Because it's after a loss, and it kind of puts things in perspective.
Yes, we've got, 17 games in. And, I mean, it's not really the time to be making bold proclamations, but
we've been dancing around some stuff.
I think both of us have been pleasantly surprised. I think most Tiger fans have been pleasantly surprised with the start of the Tiger season, because what was the conversation going into the season? Boy, that schedule's tough. Oh, Vierling's not going to be there. And Parker Meadows isn't going to be there. And then Gleyber Torres gets hurt. What are we possibly to do? Could we even field a team? I mean, at times, that's what it felt like, didn't it?
I joked opening day was not canceled.
Right, yes, you made that joke. Opening day was not canceled. They did play the LA Dodgers, the best team money can buy, and they lost all three games. And since then, and even in those games, right, they didn't look defeated. They didn't look like they were out of place. They lost them. There's no question about that. But since then, they have been really good at being aggressive at the plate and working counts, getting on base or runners in scoring position. When we had Dan Dickerson on, he talked about the 15 runners in scoring position, and they were 1-for-15. Not great, but you had those 15 runners in scoring position if they continue to do that, which they have until yesterday. That this is a team that's going to score some runs. We talked about the comparisons of the end of last season, and it was pitching chaos. That's the reason they made the postseason. It wasn't because their bats finally found the ball. Now, bats have found the ball, and it is the perfect time to have this conversation, because last night, one hit, and it's their first shutout of the season. I was at 80 games before we started the season. 80 wins.
Yep.
You were at 82. Mm-hmm. Last year, they were at 86. Is anyone willing to
drive the bus, because we had the 14-win bus, and I, when the schedule came out for the Lions last year, I was on that 14-win bus from day one. Neither of us were on it day one with the Detroit Tigers. Is it a stretch to think 86 last year, 90 wins this year?
They're the favorite to win the division, which puts you in the upper 80s, I would think, and puts 90. It's a realistic conversation. But this is you and me doing a stare down for who wants to grab the steering wheel to drive the 90-win bus. And John, I will offer you the first opportunity because I'm not there yet.
Oh.
So if you grab it today, it's your bus, but you got to own it.
It is my bus. And I am driving that sucker straight to the postseason this year. I am so pleasantly surprised. And not all of it has to do with the bats, because if one, you can't just pick and choose what you want. And Torkelson, right? He's been really good at the start of the season. I can't say that just simply continues and then Riley Green comes along. I do believe Riley Green will come along. But if I say that, then I think, well, the water finds its level and
Torque comes back down to earth
to where he was last year. I think there's a happy medium in there. I think Riley Green is much better than he has started off with. And I don't know that Torque is, I don't know that he's going to be a 40 home run guy, but do I think he's a 30 home run guy? Yeah. Do I think he's going to be hitting in the 265, 275 range? Yeah, I do. And we're only talking about two guys, but the reason
they're big important pieces
is this pitching staff is as good as advertised, and I am pleasantly surprised by Casey Mize.
Yes,
I love, obviously, you know, we all love Tarek Skubal, Flaherty, and I know yesterday, five runs yesterday, and wasn't his best outing, but I think he is damn good. Reese Olson is going to be good. Jackson Jobe, and again, coming off his first win, love what I see. And I think the move with Montero is more, is a little bit, there's a lot of factors involved. It's the 23 and 24 days, but this could be a way of them managing a little bit of Jackson Jobe's workload.
Yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised too. I know I'm going to get painted as the negative guy because I didn't grab the steering wheel, but let me just explain what I'm looking at here. This next couple weeks to round out the month of April, they play Kansas City, San Diego, Baltimore, and Houston. I think those are all very good baseball teams, even if the records aren't all great. If they round out this month with 18 wins, that would be pacing for 90. To go through this tough stretch with the injuries and be pacing for 90, I want to see that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I don't get the driver's seat. I'll sit in the side and adjust the radio if we get to the month of April and they deliver. Is that a reasonable thing to say today?
I'm just counting the games, the actual number of games. 14 games.
Yeah, they have to go 8-6 to pace for 90, which means you're going to win a couple of these series.
Yep.
And if you do, great. And by that point, Vierling may be back. I mean, maybe I'm being optimistic, but a couple weeks away, I'm hoping. I think if you start the month of April pacing for 90 wins and the reinforcements start coming and you went through those tough stretches on the schedule, then I'll be on the 90 win bus with you. But right now, I'm still in.
You're still at 82?
No, I think I have to adjust. I just think it'd be crazy to add 8 to 10 wins this early in the season. I'm probably in the upper 80s right now. Still in the driver's seat for the division, but not quite at 90 wins.
What I believe I'm watching is, and I don't think anything carries over from year to year, but it does give a little bit of credibility to what they did last year. And that's where I think I'm at, is this has given them some credibility on and the fact that if they were an 86 win team last year and going into the All-Star break, hell, going into the trade deadline, we didn't think 86 was possible. And I was the last one on this show to get on last year's bus that they were going to be a postseason team. I didn't believe. And the fact that I believe now, the way that they are playing in April, that the fact that they have started, I don't want to say hot, but for what we expected, And with the schedule?
It's a dream start. We said it earlier this week. It's a dream start for this baseball
team. Do I think that they're 4 wins better than last year's team? Yes.
I do, too. I said 86 to start the season because I thought they were every bit as good as last year's team. I bought in to what happened last year, and the fact that Torque is contributing has helped them here early, so people are going to have to continue to step up. And
of course,
you know, Green's going to have to get out of this slump. But I do believe. I think it's right around 90 right now. And I think that would be a ceiling, barring some significant other things happening, like Meadows getting back and Fearling. Like, I'm excited about the potential of this lineup if they're healthy. I just don't know if it's ever going to happen. But I think they're 4 games better than I thought originally.
Yeah.
Let's get to David in Clinton Township. David, we got 2 on the bus. What about you?
I'll drive the bus. I'll even fix a flat if they blow a tire on the way.
Oh, they're going to have some flats. There's no question.
Yeah. So we got, like you said, reinforcements coming back. Plus, I think the Illich this time around might channel his dad and make a move if they're close. Okay. And let's face it, the division ain't all that great.
True.
I mean, the split isn't like it used to be. They play, you know, they don't play as many in the division, but still. Something there. And I got one question, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Would you guys be adverse to bringing in JD Martinez? Wouldn't he be a better pinch hitter for Carpenter when they bring in a lefty?
Well, I want to see Carp against more lefties.
Yeah, I'm okay with Carpenter getting more time against lefties.
I'd rather see JD than McKinstry or Malloy. I mean, I know they're, you know, he ain't the same guy, but he's still better than those two options.
Well, Malloy would be the guy you're talking about replacing, because McKinstry can play all over the diamond. You wouldn't make the one-for-one swap there. But yeah, the debate would be J.D. Martinez at 37 years old versus Justin Henry Malloy, who's a primary DH at this point, doesn't do anything else.
Right.
J.D. had 16 home runs last year after 33 the year before. I don't know how much is left in the tank.
Right. How much is the decline, and what does he add, not just at the plate, but in the field as well?
Nothing at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd make that move. We had talked about it a little bit, especially in the wake of, you know, not getting a third baseman that's now in Boston. Don't do it. Don't say it. You did it.
Can't help myself. Anyway.
And we haven't even had to say the word walleye at all.
How many wins would they have if Bregman was here? That's the real question. 248.
Oh, one of the classic moments from former Yankees announcer John Sterling. It is the Valente and Rico show. I'm Stoney. I'm in with for Mike. He is Rico Beard, Kenny Cott, the Hatchet Man, David Hall's here. What's up, Rico?
What's going on, Stoney?
How are you?
Good, man.
What a difference a day makes. Yesterday was so beautiful and nice, and today's crappy, to say the least.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes. It's a clean way to put it. It's Michigan. We understand the weather changes daily, but, you know, we live here.
Crappy, windy this morning.
Yes.
I'm out on the deck trying to cover everything because stuff had blown off, so not happy.
Well, you know, it is, you know, people always bitch about the weather here, but, you know, we don't have hurricanes. We don't have earthquakes. There was an earthquake in San Diego yesterday. You see the video, the elephants, like it was like almost like 2x2 from Noah's Ark. They were just hanging out together and running away. But it was like, what, a 5.9? That's pretty significant earthquake. So we don't have hurricanes. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have a lot of tornadoes. Occasionally there'll be a tornado. We have cold and we have a lot of gray. That's about it. I'll take that over natural disasters, you know, so we shouldn't bitch about it. And we also, by the way, in case you're, you know, not keeping track, we also have the home of the best record, the best team in the American League by record. As of now.
Right.
The Tigers are 10-6. The New York Yankees are 9-7. The Los Angeles Angels are 9-6. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, the Detroit Tigers, 10-6, with an amazing run differential that leads the American League as well of plus 23. Remember, it was only maybe a year ago, a few years ago, we would just sit there and look at the run differential and just laugh how bad it was. You know, kind of helps when you win games 9-1.
No, this is true. Other than losing 9-1, so yeah. When you look at this team, Tony, it is a lot of people. When you saw it coming out of spring training, it was a lot of holes. It was just a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of. I remember on this show, we said, "Can you just be 500 or close to 500 when Parker Meadows comes back to give yourself a fighting chance?"
Mm-hmm.
Little did we know that a lot of the question marks are all coming through right now.
I mean, yeah.
Other than Colt Keith, you know, we talked about it yesterday. You got Casey Mize, you got Torque, you even got Javi Baez out there doing his job.
That's right.
He's doing his job. Hey, I'm not saying he's an all-star.
No.
But he's doing his job. They're out there winning. You know, Scooble goes out there and pitches the way he did. And you're looking at this team like, man, it feels like they're picking up right where they left off at the end of last year.
That's correct.
That we didn't think was sustainable. It was a fun ride.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when I look at it now, yeah, this is a team that's fun to watch.
And if you want to do the math, what's 116 minus 17 is 145 plus 1. Magic number is 146. Okay.
they got
to win the division. I know
they got a ways to go. I mean, for me, I'm curious for the Tiger fans out there.
Yeah,
like, have you bought into this team yet? Have you bought into this team? You know, best record in the American League. They're out there getting it done. A lot of young guys. Yes, there are holes in this team, but it looks like things are falling into place. And you play in a bad division. Are you buying into this Tiger team? Or if you're not, at what point will you say, okay, I believe this team could possibly be a good team. This team could possibly be a team that contends for the American League. Where do you have to go? I mean, because, you played the Yankees. And you can't say, well, it was cold. Yeah, it was cold out. It was cold for the Yankees, too.
Yes, exactly. Okay?
Weather was for both teams.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying that whole weather thing. They beat them. Because I think for me, it was, okay, let me see what you do when you start facing some better teams. They're winning series. They're getting it done. Are you a fan of the whole Sparky Anderson 40 games and that's when you'll decide? Or are you just willing to say, you know what? Maybe AJ is still keeping this thing rolling and they're just finding ways to win games. 248-539-9797. Because I look at this team and, Stoney, I'm buying in. I'm like, this is actually a good team.
They are.
And I know it's you know, you're almost gun shy, like it's all gonna fall apart. It's easy to be that guy.
Right. Because we've all been that guy and with good reason. But when your team is the foundation of this team is pitching, you're gonna go places.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they're not a perfect team, as you mentioned. There are holes. And do you expect everybody who's on a torrid streak right now to keep this up? I mean, you look at the American League leader in home runs, and there's, you know, Trout and Judge, I believe, lead with six, and Chisholm and Soderstrom of Oakland. But Oakland, the Athletics, sorry. But we have a Carpenter and Torque are tied for second with a lot of other guys at five home runs. RBI is the same way. I mean,
you're getting it done, and it's a different person every night getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of, once again, how the season ended last year, where, you know, they found ways to just win games, and they're winning games now. And yeah, it's early, but I think this is going to be a trend that continues throughout the rest of the season, where instead of being worried, will they be at 500? Okay. By the time Parker Meadows comes back, I look at that as a trade that they made, except for they didn't have to give away any pieces. You just added to the lineup.
Yeah, the problem is he might not come back until the trade deadline. We have no idea.
Right, but that's just it. Like,
I know.
So if he comes back around July, great. If you can continue this and if you can stay above 500 and you can keep winning series, yeah, and you play in this division, I've bought in early. I don't know when you're going to buy your stock into this Tiger team. I have. I know some believe in the whole Sparky, well, you got to wait 40 games and that's going to decide it. I'm not mad at you if that's where you are. And for others, you may just be like, this is all smoke and mirrors. I've seen this before. 248-539-9797.
I'm pretty much with Sparky because, you know, he's like a grandfather to me. And, you know, it always seemed to be somewhat accurate.
you know, because baseball, and, you know, he was the first one I heard who said it's not a marathon. It's, you know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And he's right. He was right. And, you know, with 40 games, you can pretty much tell, you know, at that point, guys have, you know, over 150 at bats to close to two. So you can, it usually tells, it's a good barometer of what's going to happen, especially individually. Sometimes team wise, you can't, you know, depend on injuries and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you got to like what you see. And look, two more games in Milwaukee. Milwaukee, a decent National League team. They're not great, but they're good. And Flaherty goes tonight. And then you get the Royals coming in this weekend. And that's the team that a lot of people, along with Cleveland, you're going to have to battle with.
Right.
And they took care of Minnesota last weekend, so, and that was on the road. So who knows? They're looking really good. But I think around here, we do have to be measured. Because this, right, for some reason, a lot of us, whether you're born with negativity or whatever, you sometimes wait for the other shoe to drop. And with the Tigers, modern history, recent history, I should say, they usually do the other thing. They get off to a crappy start.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they're playing catch up all season long.
Now they're off to a good start. I mean, the last time, I don't know if this is accurate. It seems like the last time they had a good start was when the year they all of a sudden they wore those Zubas and everything all went to hell after that. Remember that?
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, but that's what happened. So, yeah, this is good. And everybody's not been great. There are ways to improve this baseball team individually on guys on the roster where you don't have to rely on. I mean, Zach McKinstry's doing really well. I mean, you didn't have that on your bingo card to start the season.
You didn't have a lot of things on. But yet, like I said, they're winning. It's a different person every night, whether it's pitching, whether it's hitting. They're getting it done. And Riley Green really hasn't been playing that great, and they're still winning. So, yeah, I am buying in right now. If this was a stock, I would be all in with the stock. And I want to know, where would you be if, you know, Tigers fans, are you buying in? Do you need to wait and see? Or what is it that's going to get you to finally say, maybe we have something here? Maybe Scott Harris has put something together. While we were all bitching and complaining, he actually knew what he was doing, and he's put together something that's sustainable and that's working and that's winning.
248-539-9797. We'll get your texts, your phone calls all coming up next. It's the Valenti and Rico Show with Stoney here on 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Red Wings, last home game of the season tonight as they take on the Dallas Stars. General Manager Jim Neal, former Red Wing. Great guy, Jim Neal. I always liked him. Did a good job here as an assistant general manager. And we'll leave further comment to ourselves. Tigers on these very airways take on the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. Tarik Skubal will be pitching, looking for his first win, correct? I believe he's 0-2, but, you know, he's pitched decently, not like Cy Young decent, but he's been decent. There's one guy who's not been decent right now. That's Riley Green. I do want to mention this. Riley Green is on a pace. He's been awful. In 22 games, he's hitting .221, basically. After his good start, he's got 2 home runs, 7 walks, 33 strikeouts. That's in this last bit of a streak he's on. Overall, he's struck out 25 times in 60 plate appearances, 60 at bats. So that's something that, I don't know. Should we be concerned about this, or is this basically a 2-week deal? And that happens in baseball, no matter how good you are.
See, I'm going to hold off for Riley Green.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's earned enough that.
Yeah, me too.
This is just a cold start, mm-hmm. bad start.
Right.
Size, as you know, baseballs, you know, they don't leave the park when it's cold. You
right. can't hit when it's cold. It's a long season. There are 3 guys, though, who have had very interesting starts to their campaign. One, Spencer Torkelson, who hit another home run yesterday in the loss. He's got five homers. He's batting .309 with an OPS of 1.082. Pretty damn impressive. We also have another batter that I do want to mention. Javier, or as you call him, Harvey Baez, who is hitting .286. His OPS is .695, which is not great, but it's better than it was last year. That's for damn sure. He does not have any home runs. Strikeouts, not as much as you would expect. 8 strikeouts in 35 plate appearances. He does have 4 walks. And even when the ones he's striking out, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, he doesn't seem to be chasing.
They're not the embarrassing strikeouts. No, he's almost an OPS of 700.
Yeah, he's actually he's fielded very well. He's actually performed pretty good.
You know what? So long as he bats this way.
Yeah.
I'm going to not call him Harvey. He's actually earned. Maybe we just call him this.
Yeah, that's the greatest name of all time. It's awesome. And there's one other guy I want to mention, and we're going to ask you guys, which of the three is most sustainable? So you've heard the stats, and we mentioned Spencer Torkelson. We mentioned Javier Baez. What about Casey Mize? Now, he lost yesterday, gave up a couple home runs. He's 2-1, but his ERA is 2.60 with a whip of 1.04. He has walked just 5 guys, and he has struck out 15 guys, so 3-1, basically.
5-3-9-97-97.
Yeah. Which one is the most sustainable of the three, you think?
You know, for me, and maybe some of this is just hope, but I'm thinking that it's going to be Torque. I think that's going to be sustainable. He's relaxed. He has confidence when he goes up to the plate. He's not trying too hard. He knows he's on the team, and you're seeing the confidence in the swings, the home runs, the hits, you know, getting, you know, 11 RBIs. Like, he's getting the timely hits. They're winning the games, and he's been a big part of a lot of the wins that they've had. He's even had a walk-off. I'm thinking Torque. Now, Baez, the bar is so low that he's crossed over that low bar. We shouldn't be that happy, but, Stoney, when you have to say, well, his strikeouts aren't that bad, where he's swinging out. That's where the bar is. Mize, I like what I'm seeing with Mize, but Torque has played his way into this lineup, and he may play himself out onto the field. Everyday lineup, he's hitting the ball. He may have become the thing that we wanted the Tigers to go and get that right-handed bat. He's here.
Yeah.
He's Torque.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Tigers, hey, Scott Harris is going to look like a genius because I didn't have to make a trade. I didn't have to do anything. He was sitting here the whole time, and now he's rising up, and he's being that guy that we need the Tigers to have him become. So, yeah, I'm going to say Torque is my guy that I think this is sustainable. This will continue. 248-539-9797. Torque, Mize, Baez. Who do you think is going to be sustainable?
By the way, I want to correct myself. Scoobles 1-2. He beat the White Sox.
Beat the White Sox.
Beat the White Sox. It still counts.
It does, yes.
The White Sox. Okay. If his loss still counts against the Dodgers, his win against the White Sox still counts as well. 248-539-9797. Rico, I hate to agree with you, but I have to. I mean, to me, it's not even.
I hate to agree with
you. I don't know.
Jeez.
Makes better radio.
It's just part of that chair, I guess.
I know, but hey, I am agreeing with you. And here's the other reason why I'm agreeing with you. If you look back on track record, last year was probably just the aberration, where he just got into a funk, couldn't get out of it, got sent down, came back, and he was not great, but he was decent when he came back. And the year before, he had 30 bombs.
And Stoney, Torque saw the abyss. He was about to get sent back down.
I know.
All the injuries kept him up here.
Yeah.
But I think we were going to be close to, do you just trade him?
Right.
Is his career, is he going to be that bust? I don't think so. I think you now have a key cog to this team.
Right. And look, we're not forgetting other players who are playing well, but they just don't fit in this equation of guys who you weren't even sure were going to be here, because obviously Dylan Dingler is just still knocking the cover off the ball, and even Zach McKinstry is actually playing pretty damn well. So 248-539-9797, your calls and texts coming up next. 97 on the ticket.
Final. Thanks, Kenny Maeda. Ruined the shutout. Tigers had a day. 9 runs on. Offense, Tarek Skubal, a gem of a start. 7 innings, shutout baseball, 9 strikeouts, no walks. He's put together 2 shutout performances back-to-back now, and he's, John, he's settled in for anybody that had concerns.
Yeah, obviously starting off 0-2, not what you would think the returning Cy Young Award winner would start the season off with. And it wasn't that he pitched bad. It was just a couple of mistakes. And there were some mistakes in the field. So it wasn't all on him. It was kind of a compounding of errors. But the last 2 games, he has taken away pretty much any opportunity for error, because he has taken care of things before they even get base runners. He was so good through 5 innings. And he was good through this entire
time. He was perfect going to the 5th. And the one jam he got into in the 6th, 100 miles an hour, perfect pitch, good luck, goodbye, see ya, good night. He was phenomenal. Back-to-back starts, it's now 13 shutout innings in a row. 15 Ks, 0 walks. He's given up less than a base runner an inning. Yeah, the dude's legit. And the number one comment I got last night was, when are we paying him? And I hate that this is what it's turning into, but everybody's thinking it. See, to me, this is how it works. They're winning. They're good. They're going to have him through this season. And then at the end of the year, he'll have 1 year left. And if you can't work out an extension, you get something for him. I don't want it to come to that. I don't want this conversation to hang over the heads of this season, because I think this team could be pretty good and he can lead the way. But John, you hear it. I hear it. What are they going to pay this guy? Is he going to be here long term?
So I don't know that anybody really knows what the answer to that is. And I think there are some people with strong opinions on both sides where, hey, it's ride him as long as you can have him. They don't want to pay him because of the arm events. And they're willing to trade him this next coming offseason. And then there's others that think he is the next Justin Verlander. And not only is he going to pitch like Verlander in this moment, maybe not the innings, because that's just not baseball anymore, but they also believe that he's going to have the longevity. And some of it is because he's already had his arm event. And he has been managed to lower the innings, to lower the stress on his arm throughout the course of every season that he is performing. So they want to extend him.
Yeah, Verlander is the last of a dying breed, the workhorse starter. We don't see that anymore. But Skubal's season last year rivals peak Verlander in Detroit. His ERA was lower. His strikeouts right there at the top.
Just not the innings.
Just not working 8-9 innings. Right. And the other difference would be that playoff elimination game where Verlander was nails and Skubal gave up that home run to Lane Thomas. But Skubal is the modern version of Justin Verlander. As much as someone can be a JV in today's game, he's filthy, he's dominant, he's your ace, he's your bulldog. He lets out the primal scream after he gets the big-time strikeout to end the inning. He's your guy. And, John, I'm of the opinion you pay good baseball players. You want to run your team like a real big league organization, you pay your baseball players. That price tag, though, may be too rich for their blood. Scott Boras is the agent. He's not going to take a discount. If this thing walks up to free agency, it creates a whole bunch of problems, because we know what the Dodgers are willing to pay. The Yankees and Mets are willing to outbid you. It creates a situation that I'm just trying to deny and live in denial, because it's not a situation we have to worry about right now. But it is on everybody's
it's
mind.
It's like your taxes. You just want to put it off as long as possible.
Yeah. And I get it. You're going to get less for him if you trade him in a year from now. But what's the alternative? Dump him now? You're not going to do that.
No, this is an off-season decision. This is a team that, as we're learning, maybe is a little bit better than we thought. They're performing better than we anticipated. And so we don't have to have the conversations of what do you do with Tarek Skubal at the trade deadline.
Because last year they were sellers and it was a conversation that we were forced to have.
Oh, yeah. Where we're going to get a haul from Baltimore.
Right.
And ended up that obviously they kept him. He won the Cy Young here, and he is performing as such again this year. it's an off-season conversation as to what they're going to do. It's, you know, it's poop or get off the pot. And because if you go into next year not having extended him and he's still on the roster, you run the risk of losing trying to match anything that the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Red Sox want to put out there.
You could lose him for nothing. But really, it's wild to me that that's the fixation. If anything, the fact that the team is so good, it delays it, right? Because what is it, 8-2 in the last 10 now? They're setting up to win 5 straight series here if they can win one of the next 2 games, Flaherty on the mound. Good teams aren't trading away their ace pitcher ahead of the playoffs, and this team is the front runner in the division right now. So really, I would think this conversation gets pushed to the offseason.
Yeah.
Yet it's on everybody's mind every time he deals, and I wonder if it's possible to set that aside and understand you're going to give it your best shot with Skubal this season. But in doing so, you better be adding at the trade deadline. Not to get ahead of ourselves in that way, John, but if you're not trading him away, it's you saying, we think we have a real shot at this.
Yeah, and we better win now.
You better add someone to make sure that you don't waste this season.
So do you guys think we're heading for a confrontational almost type thing at the winter meetings in December?
Next winter?
Yeah, so next December. So I the likelihood of him being dealt at the deadline is so low. You know, this team would maybe have to tank, but he's pitching like a Cy Young winner. Who knows? I just don't think that's happening. But the reason I say that is because no contract is happening during the season. That would really surprise us all. So if you don't get it done by the winter meetings, don't you have to trade him?
Yes, but it's a conversation I don't want to have right now.
Right, but you're bringing up everybody's bringing up pay him. Yeah, well, paying him isn't reasonable right now. It really isn't.
But people want to know that he's going to be here for the long haul. And there's no way you're getting that certainty right now.
No. And it's really going to come down to, are they going to set the market while they still have a year of team control? Or, and what is it that Skubal wants? Does he like being here with Chris Fetter as his pitching coach and this organization seemingly on the rise? And instead of going for, let's just call it $45 million a year for 8 years, 9 years. Is he willing to go 42? Because he doesn't want to get it. Wins another Cy Young or is in the finalists for the Cy Young. And is he willing to go another year, possibly risking injury, and for that $3 or $4 million? I don't know the answer to that question.
It's also possible that the Tigers have certain thresholds they're comfortable with. With Bregman, they didn't want to go over $200 million. With Skubal, I'm sure they would, but there's got to be a number where they say, no, that's not a risk we're willing to take for a pitcher into his late 30s with a violent delivery and already has the arm event in his background. Maybe it's behind him, or maybe he's going to have another one. If they have a number in mind where they're not willing to go over and they say, hey, Job's our future ace, We've resuscitated the career of Flaherty and potentially Mize here. If he doesn't want to take our deal, we're not going to make a bad deal, which is what they did this last offseason. They said, we're not going to make a bad deal. We're not going to overpay for Alex Bregman. Right or wrong, I mean, that may be their thought here is, we like Skubal. We're not going to do something stupid and pay a premium right now. And if I'm Boris, I'm only signing early for a premium because I know the other teams are going to be lining up to pay him when his contract is up.
John, I don't think we live in a world where the things that you brought up about the team rising up and Chris Fetter and all these other things, that world exists as for a Scott Boris client. I think Tarek Skubal would have to change agents. I think Scott Boris would not do that deal because of his reputation.
Okay, well, again, I would emphasize this, and I don't know the relationship between Skubal and Boris. I don't know what he has told Scott Boris. Let's always remember that agents work for the player. And now, if he is going to be that personality that says, I don't want to risk injury next year, and I'm willing to set myself up with a $250 million contract versus a $275 million contract, or... You know, I mean, like, what is his threshold?
Right, but you hire Boris for a reason. Like he's the only guy in the game, the only agent in the game that just he's going to do business one way. I'll look at it this way. Look, Tarek Skubal, if he wins another Cy Young, who's the last person to win back-to-back Cy Youngs? That comes that comes with tremendous value.
And how did Scherzer's time end in Detroit?
He got a record deal at the time.
And not here. And again, that was Dave Dombrowski, not Scott Harris.
Right.
That was a different regime. But it's on people's minds when he pitches this well. And
I'm not saying that Tarek Skubal won't take that risk. I'm just saying that needs to be a part of the conversation. Because he knows, nobody knows him better than he knows himself. And how is his arm feeling? Does he feel like there's a risk of having another arm event?
I mean, look, you never know what's going to happen. If they come out and say, I'm going to blow you away here, but 6 years, $50 million a year, $300 million. So the Tigers don't want the long-term commitment, but they're making him the first $50 million pitcher in baseball. I don't know how Scott Boras says no to that. So there are ways to get there.
Sure. Yeah, and I think it's the risk-reward of it all. Ticket Texter points out, every long-term pitcher that signs a deal like this and resets the market, it backfires because of injury. The deal you're going to look at right now is Gerrit Cole, right? He signed that nine-year, 300-and-some-odd million-dollar contract. He's not pitching this season because of an arm event, and it will set him back some next year potentially because of this arm event. If the Tigers don't want to pay him, not because they don't like him, the player, but because of the market and the position, then it is imperative that they win as much as they can this season with him, because they are in the driver's seat in the AL Central.
And they're currently doing that.
First place. 248-539-9797. Another win last night. Flaherty on the bump later today.